Well, from time to time, life gives us various opportunities to say thank you to God. Every time we sit down at the dinner table, we do so with thankfulness to God. Birthdays are an occasion for thankfulness, so too weddings, anniversaries, finishing a school year, starting a new one, we do so with thankfulness. Starting a new job or retiring from your job, we do so with thankfulness. Babies and children give many, many reasons to be thankful, don't they? Even at funerals, we give thanks, don't we? Particularly if the person was a Christian, we give thanks to God for their life, for their witness. So it is entirely fitting to talk about a service of thanksgiving at funerals. So life, from time to time, gives us these opportunities to say thank you to God. But there's perhaps no better opportunity than the beginning of a new year. And for us this morning, as a church family, at this, the beginning of a new year, surely our gathering today is one of immense thankfulness to God. Having been separated for the last 6 months by oceans, continents, and time zones, God in his wisdom, in his providence, has brought us back together again. And we can safely say that this pulpit exchange with the McKinnon congregation, the Hart family, it has been wonderfully blessed of God. And we give thanks to him for that. Here we are, 7 days into a new year. And just for a moment, set aside those New Year resolutions. Just for a moment, forget about those diet plans and those exercise intentions. And think about this question. Have I suitably given thanks to God? Have I suitably given thanks to God? Have I given thanks to him for this occasion that we have here this morning? Have I given thanks to him for the last 6 months and what he's done in my life? Have I given thanks to him for all of the blessings of 2017? Have I given thanks to him that he's brought me into a new year safe and sound? Here we are this morning. And our scripture text is very appropriate, extremely helpful. We read the whole Psalm 107, but it's just the opening words we want to look at this morning. It's 107, verse 1. Really, it's the first part of verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the Lord. For he is good. Those are the words we want to think about this morning. And we're just going to make 2 points out of them. Firstly, we have a call to give thanks. The call to give thanks. And secondly, the cause for giving thanks. The call and the cause. Just in these opening words of Psalm 107. Firstly then, the call to give thanks. We don't know who wrote this psalm. We're not told who the author is that God used. We don't know the author. Nor do we know the circumstances surrounding the writing of this psalm. We don't know what was going on at the time of the writing. So, although we don't know the author, and although we don't know the circumstances, we do know the theme of this psalm. Psalm 107 is all about thanksgiving. It's all about thanksgiving. It's a song to help people thank God. It's clearly the theme. Thanksgiving in lots of situations, lots of circumstances. Just scanning through the psalm together, you'll be able to see that. Verses 4 to 9 speaks of a group of people who were once lost, hungry and thirsty, but God delivered them, verses 4 to 9. And then you have a group in verses 10 to 16, a group of people who were once slaves, prisoners, rebels. but God delivered them. And then you have another group, verses 17 to 22. Those who chose to go down a dangerous road. Fools, the writer calls them. But God delivered them. And then you have another group, verses 23 to 32. People who are caught up in the storms of life, but God delivered them. So you have this range of situations described in this psalm, and God delivering people out of them. And over again, there's this chorus from each of the groups. We give thanks to the Lord for this. You see that chorus repeating itself. Verse 8, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Verse 15, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Verse 21, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love. Verse 31, let them thank the Lord again. Over and over. Over and over, this theme of giving thanks. There's no debate about it. There's no discussion about it. The call is put forward over and over again. Give thanks to the Lord. So friends, whether you're a regular here this morning or not, whether you're in membership here this morning or not, whether you have a relationship with God this morning or not, you ought to hear this call. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. You ought to give thanks to him. Now, the way the opening words are written, it's very strong. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. There's an emphasis here at the start of this psalm, calling us to give thanks. And isn't this a call that is desperately needed today? Many people, for them, God is utterly irrelevant. They might give him a bit of thought when they're really sick. They might tip their hat to him at a wedding or a funeral. They might just occasionally think of him there and then. But the idea of giving thanks to him, well, that's far from their minds, isn't it? The general mindset surely is one of, well, I'm the one who works, and I'm the one who earns my money, and I'm the one who buys the food. What do we need to give thanks to God for? But how narrow-minded, how self-centered is that approach? Yes, we might have earned money through work we've done. Yes, we might exchange money for food we get. But who's the one who gives us the opportunity for money? Who's the one who gives us breath in our bodies in the first place? Everything we have comes from the hand of God, and we ought to give thanks to him. You ought to give thanks to him personally, privately, individually, one-to-one, coming before God, saying thank you to him, recognizing that he's your creator, he's your sustainer, he's your provider, he's your protector. And just thinking for a moment of what you have from him. You have a home. You have food in your cupboards. You have heat. You have light. You have a family. You have friends. Perhaps you have a job. You ought to give thanks to God. Without God, you wouldn't have a table spread with food. Without God, you wouldn't have a career. Without God, you wouldn't have an anniversary. Without God, you wouldn't even have a birthday. You would be a complete ruin without God if you existed at all. So as individuals, we ought to give thanks to him. As families, we ought to give thanks to him. Parents this morning, among the many things that we should be modeling to our children, are we modeling thankfulness to them at our dinner tables, in our family worship? Are we showing what it is to be thankful to God? As we go about our daily life, and this is especially true for those of you spending lots of hours with your little ones every day, Are you showing a thankful spirit? Giving thanks for finding a car parking space? Giving thanks for how you can feed the ducks? Or when you see a rainbow in the sky, saying thank you? As families, we ought to have this spirit of thankfulness. And surely as a church family, we ought to be giving thanks to God. Today of all days. These last 6 months, He has brought new experiences into all of our lives, new people into our lives. He's brought new blessings into our lives. And this call comes to us. Give thanks to the Lord. Our hearts should bubble out, spill over with thankfulness. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and you find your heart slow to give thanks to God. Maybe you look back and you have had the worst year imaginable. Maybe you've received news this last week or even this morning and there is very little within you that wants to rise up with thanksgiving. Maybe you're one of these self-made people and you feel that you don't need to give any thanks to God. Maybe with all that we've mentioned, you're just not feeling very thankful. Let's look secondly at the cause for giving thanks. We've heard the call. Let's think about the cause for giving thanks. What does our verse say? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. He is good. Why give thanks to Him? Because He's good. That's why you should give thanks. He is a good God. There are many, of course, who deny this goodness of God. They'll openly deny it. So let's briefly think about what the Bible says about this goodness. It's worth probing this a little, because if this is the cause for giving thanks, we need to make sure this is a valid cause. We need to make sure this stands under some testing. So let's consider two things that we find in the Bible about God being good. First, He's good in His character. He's good in His character. That is, He's essentially good. It's not just that He does good. We're thinking here, God is good. He is goodness Himself. And in that sense, He's altogether different from us. All the goodness that is in any creature has been given to that creature by the Creator. God's goodness hasn't been given to Him. It's part of Him. It's part of His building blocks. It's part of His nature. It's part of His being. He is good. And so there are times that we might demonstrate a degree of goodness. We might praise our children and call them good. You might even praise your pet and call it good. But that goodness is just a mere drop compared to the infinite ocean of goodness there is in God. And really, really, compared with God, is there anyone good? Now, the Bible would say, Jesus would say in the Scriptures, Mark 10:18, there is no one good except God alone. He is good in His character. He's perpetually good. He's superlatively good. He's infinitely good. He's eternally good. He's unchangeably good. Never changing. As we thought with the children, He never changes. That's a wonderful thing to think about, His goodness never changing. He'll never be less good than He is now. And He'll never be more good than He is now. He's just as good now as He was when He was walking with Adam and Eve in the garden. And He's just as good now as He will be 1,000 years into glory. Unchangingly, eternally good. It's part of his DNA, if you like. It's what makes God, God, this goodness. So why give thanks to him? Well, we have this cause, because he's good. He's good in his character. But then the Bible would also teach us he's good in his conduct. He's good in his character, it's part of who he is, but he's good in his conduct. That is what he does. And for this, we go to another psalm, Psalm 119. And verse 68 tells us, "You are good, and you do good." So the writer's speaking to God, "You are good, God," but he also does good. So not only is this part of his character, but it's his conduct too. He's good to you. He's done many good things for you. Just think for a moment of what he has provided out of his goodness for you. I'm sure many of you, if not all of you, enjoyed having a full belly over the last couple of weeks. Sitting back, "I'm stuffed." That's the goodness of God. He's given you senses to taste and touch and smell and see and hear his goodness to you. He's given you love and laughter and happiness and friendship. He's given you family, children, many of you, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Every breath that you're breathing, that's his goodness to you. Every mouthful of food, every ray of sunshine, every hug and every kiss, every single of these things testifying to God's goodness to you. He's perfectly good to you. Perfectly good. And we need to have that straightened out in our minds, friends, because there will be times when things come into our lives and we can't understand them. And we can't understand how they're good. But the fact remains, God is good and he's being good to you. Those times when we're at a loss and we're confused, we're just disorientated with the way things have happened. We just don't know what to do and even what to say to God. There may be times ahead of us this year, and things will make very little sense for us. But this is what we know. God is good, and he does good. He is good, and he does good. Or Romans 8:28, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. If you can call yourself a Christian this morning, you should know that absolutely everything in your life is ordered by God for your good. Absolutely everything. It's one of the most comforting truths of the Bible. If you're a Christian, every single isolated event in your life, in your experience, God in his wisdom is using for your good. Now, we're not saying that things are always good. We're not saying that things are always happy and cheerful in your lives. I'm not saying at all that if you come to Jesus, then bad things will never happen to you. But we're saying God uses all these things. He causes, works all of these things for your ultimate good. And so we give thanks to the Lord. We give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Good in character, good in conduct. But maybe you're finding this all a bit much to swallow. Maybe you're thinking to yourself, "I'm to give thanks to God because he's good. Well, if he's so good, what about all those bad things that are happening? If he's so good, why is my life the way it is? Why have things gone so wrong? If he's so good?" Well, the shortest, the simplest answer is sin, friend. Bad things happen in this world because sin is in this world. Tragedies, accidents, disease, they all exist because our first parents sinned in the garden. Sin is the thing that's brought death and cancer and war and disaster. And maybe still you're finding that very hard. Looking around saying, well, how can you still say that God's good? How can you still say he's good in this? Well, we can say God's good this morning because he's done something about sin. He's done something about the problem of sin. He's dealt with sin once and for all. In the greatest act of his goodness, God sent his Son, the only one who ever lived that perfectly good life. And so in Jesus Christ, God has demonstrated his goodness. He's shown his goodness to you in the greatest possible way. And we ask, is he good? Of course he's good. He's done something about our sin problem. He hasn't just provided for our lives, for our bodies. He's done something for our souls. And if we're honest with ourselves, we don't deserve anything at all like this. We don't deserve anything good from God because all we've done has been anti-good to God. And yet he is so good. He is so good. The Bible says that his goodness should produce within us a response. The Bible says that Romans 2 verse 4 tells us that the goodness of God is meant to lead us to repentance. Isn't that interesting? His goodness is meant to draw within us, to push us to repentance. His goodness, in other words, should bring us to our knees. It should stop us in our tracks. His goodness should stop us from going one way and turn us around and go the other way. His goodness should fill us with thankful hearts. It's this issue that divides the whole of mankind, being thankful to God. Another verse in Romans 1:21 tells us, unbelievers, non-Christians, well, they're marked by the fact that they don't give thanks. They don't return thanks to God. And so in some ways, this is the defining mark of who a Christian is. It's the defining mark of a Christian man or woman, a boy or girl, whether they're thankful or not. As verse 2 of the psalm makes clear, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Or Martin Lloyd-Jones puts it, the chief characteristic of the Christian. Now, what is the chief characteristic of a Christian that Lloyd-Jones would say? The chief characteristic of a Christian is the giving of thanks to God. The giving of thanks to God. And all of this should be probing us to question ourselves. How much is this a characteristic of me? Is this featuring at all in my life? Is it anywhere near a chief characteristic of mine? Thankfulness to God. It ought to be. It ought to be. It's not too late to make amends, you know. Today is a good day to start giving thanks to God. Today is a good day for pastor and congregation to begin this year on this heavenly theme together, giving thanks together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Amen.